After Dark.
After Dark.
After
Dark. After Dark. After Dark. After Dark. Hey, what's up? My name is Jess Grace Garcia, and I am a worship pastor, filmmaker, music producer, and I met my wife on the dating app OkCupid.
Ooh, cute. So it is possible.
It is.
I'm Jack Bates, drag queen, theologian, comedian, and I'm Tinder in the streets and recon in the sheets.
Oh my. What is recon?
It's like kink specific.
I should have known.
Hookup app.
I have enough kink friends. I should know this.
Oh, and I'm Christian Mingle in the tweets.
That is excellent. Oh my gosh, that's amazing. So I wonder what we're talking about today.
Oh, it could be anything. Let's talk about the apps.
Amazing. Well, before the apps, do you have anything to share? Is there anything going on in Jack's life? Because I got stories.
I want to hear your story.
So this past Sunday, I got to, do worship leading for a UCC church.
Oh, cool.
In Los Alamitos. And I actually didn't know much about the UCC church up until a couple of weeks ago. I started to learn about them, and they have some really cool history of being affirming.
Oh, yeah.
And as just as a denomination. It's really cool to know about this, and to like, it's also a little hard because it's like, what, you were there all along? at least from a mainline church perspective, like I didn't grow up going to, I don't know if evangelical like churches are considered mainline. I don't think right? So like I only got a little exposure to mainline churches, like Methodist churches and so forth.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, so I got to, they have like a tent outside. So they've been doing meetings like outside and socially distanced. In California, we can kind of get away with that without too much weather inhibiting. Stop pulling your zipper down.
This is After Dark. I got to let the girls breathe a little.
It's like, oh God, what was I talking about? So yeah, it was a really amazing experience to, it was a little nerve-wracking too. I've been leading worship on Zoom for my church. And, after a year of doing that, to be on a stage was kind of nerve-wracking.
Oh, I bet.
But it was really sweet. The pastor actually, Pastor Sam, he wore a lavender colored, tie. And had said he had listened to an episode of Lavender Mafia, and I was like, wait, what? And
the Lavender Mafia?
The Lavender Mafia. And he had asked if he could become an honorary member, and he's a straight dude, but he's got a queer sister, and he's just really sweet. And I was like, I gotta ask Jack, but yes.
Absolutely.
Right?
Honorary mafiosa. 100%.
Yes, I love it. I love it. But I just thought that was so sweet. And you mentioned it at church. And I really appreciated that. But also, he just gave like a really great message about hope in the midst of uncertainty. Mm. And it felt really real and genuine. And they just have a really beautiful community there. So it was really nice to be a part of that. At the end of the message, when I got to kind of like mingle and talk to people and get to know people in the community, everyone was so welcoming and appreciative of the music and the worship. And they, this one woman felt comfortable enough to ask me about pronouns. And she was like, you know, I hope this isn't offensive, but I need someone to ask about this. Like, is there a reason why people might not have used the term "the" in singular form as opposed to "they"? And I just thought, it's interesting. I've never been posed that question. Hmm. And I think that she's a fifth grade or she's like, no, second grade. She's a second grade teacher. So teachers often get like hung up on grammatical stuff. And so they get, they have a harder time. But it was funny because every example that she gave me about like asking someone a question or asking about someone, I was like, they works normally there. Like mm-hmm. people would say, how are they? If you don't know what the person's gender is, or right. even if you do, sometimes you would say, how are they doing? Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she was like, I guess you would. Huh. And it was just really funny because every time she posted an example, I was able to just easily come up with a they option. And I just said, like, she was like, it seems rude. And I said, but doesn't it seem more rude to assume someone's gender mm-hmm. than to wait for them to tell you what their preferred pronouns are if you haven't already asked? And she was like, well, I guess it is, isn't it? Well, I guess you kind of caught between a rock and a hard place there. I was like, no, I don't think so. I think it's just about practice. But hey, like, please do some more research. I'll send you some links and, you know, like, come back to me if you have any more questions or any other thoughts. But I don't know. It was kind of a fun, like, I felt really good about the fact that she felt comfortable to come up to me and ask me a question
about pronouns. That's great.
So, but yeah, it's just a cute little family church, where a good percentage, I would say like a third of the church is queer, and they're just like, they just are an activist church that really stands up for something. And I appreciate that. And it's nice to know that they exist.
I love that.
So I wanted to share about that. But enough about me and all of my experiences. So what is our topic today? Our topic is the apps. I feel like I have very little to say about the apps. I get that, like, I met my wife on an app. But like, my experience is like from 7 years ago. So like, I don't even know which way you're supposed to swipe these days.
It's right is good, left is bad.
Okay.
It's just like when Jesus comes, he's going to put the goats on his left and the sheep on his right. Like, you want to be a sheep, not a goat.
Okay. Well, that makes me feel very, very singled out as a left-handed individual. Left feels good to me. Why'd they have to make that the bad way?
Yeah, I also am left-handed.
Right? What? See? Another way that we're the same that I forget. See, that bugs me. I feel like if I was going to like save someone, I'd swipe them to the left.
Yeah, all the freaks go to the left. So good. Left is good in our world.
Yes.
On the apps.
On the apps.
It's not this way.
Yeah. Man. I remember one time, Jack, where you handed me your phone and let me swipe for you.
Oh, right. I think we've told listeners this story before. Names were withheld to protect the innocent.
I kept swiping right on people, and you were like, well, thank you for thinking that.
She was swinging for the fences, swiping right on all the like 10s and 11s that live in LA. Because I'm fully like an LA 4.
Like, why not? Why not swipe right? Like, you don't run out of right swipes, do you?
I mean, I didn't because I was paying the premium, but normally you would. Yes, listeners, I was that person.
Hey, I paid.
Oh, you too?
So, back in the day.
Only the lonely.
No, okay, so this is my reasoning. I think I have a pretty valid reason. I was at my old job, the last job I ever had that wasn't something I started on my own. Mm-hmm. I would test and break apps. I created apps, but then after they were developed and built up, I would test and break them. So I really enjoyed like the statistical and analytical and the like design aspects of apps. Mm-hmm. And OkCupid was giving me a lot of trash Like not a lot of matches, a lot of trash. And I just kept thinking, like, they keep trying to get me to buy into the subscription package, and I wonder if it makes an actual freaking difference. Mm-hmm. And I've been thinking for like months after having like multiple just poor date experiences, like, why don't I pay for a month and see what happens? Mm-hmm. And so like a couple days before seeing my wife on the app, I paid, and I ended up seeing a very different result of the kinds of people that popped up into my suggestions. Mm-hmm. I basically paid for my wife, and I'm confessing that here today.
I love that. It's very like Old Testament of you.
Mm-hmm.
How many goats was it for OkCupid Premium?
What does like $10 a month equate to in goats?
Oh, you can't even get a whole goat for that. They're like a shank.
Yeah, whatever the amount was for the month, I definitely paid it. And it made a huge difference. And it's how I saw the most beautiful girl I've ever seen on an app. And that girl happened to be my wife.
Aww.
That's the extent of my... I have like historic, like I had some like funny experiences with like Plenty of Fish and shit like that back in the day. But
well, this is the time to air that dirty laundry.
So you remember back in the day when Apple accounts were they didn't have like a family plan, and they didn't have like all of this separation. So you would just have like maybe one iTunes account that you shared across your family.
What is this? I'm 26.
Shut up. No, you are. Cut that shit out.
Okay, old. Keep going.
I shared an iTunes account with my ex-girlfriend and my brother, I believe. And I remember we had just broken up. We were like, I say just broken up. We had gone from like having a 5-year relationship to not, and I wasn't ready and prepared to really actually have that separation. So I think we might have been like 8 months into the breakup, but we were still, there was still hooking up happening. Mm-hmm. And so I thought we still had hope. And you know how your phone automatically downloads the apps that you download onto other devices?
Mm-hmm.
So she had downloaded Plenty of Fish.
Ooh.
And then all of a sudden it was downloaded on my phone, and I was like, the fuck is this? So my first experience, like, I have all this shade thrown at Plenty of Fish for no goddamn reason. Like, I don't, like, they don't deserve the shade and anger that I had for them.
Oh, I tried Plenty of Fish. They deserve it.
Okay, good. I know that they're straight trash, but like, she met her current boyfriend, I think through that app, and it really, that app really pissed me off. Like, it was the start to the like real end of the relationship, which is good because I'm way better off, now. And it feels really good to like, to know that, know that like I went down the path I'm supposed to go down, and she went down the path she's supposed to go down. And they are very different from each other. I would not be here in LA if it wasn't for that. So maybe I should be thankful for Plenty of Fish. Maybe I can switch that shade around. But yeah, that was my bad experience with, in a very roundabout way, with an app.
What would be like the modern day equivalent of this ancient interaction of the two you had? Would it be like tweeting a Grindr screenshot, so like your ex knows that you're like actively on Grindr?
Yeah,
oh, that's, I think, just the gay boy equivalent.
That's a gay boy equivalent. Yeah, that's definitely something that happened to a friend of mine. Was that they were on, and I think any friend, actually, I'm sure that lots of people have had this in this encounter, where they were on an app and they saw their best friend's like boyfriend on the app. Mm-hmm. And that guy ended up like like actually match, like sending a message. And I think it might have been through OkCupid or something like that, but mm-hmm. reached out. And they, it was all under this like guise of like trying to have a threesome. And it was like the weirdest fucking thing, 'cause it was obviously a lie. But they like let it play out so that they could like expose them to their friend. That's probably like a closer, like how does that happen in modern day apps? Like, 'cause I feel like that might have happened a few years ago. That could happen again now, right?
Yeah, I feel like that sort of thing still happens.
Yeah. You know what's an interesting thought that I just had was I went to a sexual ethics course at QCF a few years ago, and the woman who was leading it brought up apps like Tinder and Grindr and stuff, mm-hmm. and was like talking about how does sexual ethics work when it comes to apps. And ooh. I think that's a really cool question mm-hmm. that I want to pose to you. How does sexual ethics work when it comes to apps?
Wait, but you have a head start on this. You went to a conference about it.
Yeah, but it was years ago. It was years ago. So it's like, it's an interesting thought for me. I don't know that I remember all that we talked about. I do remember that I felt better for some people in the room. Like I felt like there was like a tension around talking about Grindr in a Christian space for people mm-hmm. that hadn't had an opportunity to do so. Mm-hmm. And I think what it really came down to was like, is this something that has consumed your life and has not given you like joy and peace or opportunity, mm-hmm. but instead it's made you feel worse about yourself or like just, you know, given you a lot of anxiety, then maybe it's something you need to take a break from.
Or have you made an idol out of this?
Right. Without saying that, that's kind of the, that was kind of the
evangelical language.
Yeah, exactly. I wanted to say that, but I was also like, I like kind of mean that, but I don't because of evangelical language, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think moderation is obviously a good idea for these apps, like especially those of us who grew up in the midst of purity culture, like giving ourselves permission to go on like Grindr, Scruff, Recon, it can be really intoxicating. Like the relative ease with which a lot of people can set up sexual encounters, it can have a sort of addictive effect to it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, if we've been denied something for so long, and then all of a sudden we have it basically at our fingertips, like, there's an element of that that I think you can let yourself, like, take part in a safe manner, mm-hmm. But then realize that, like, maybe there's a time in which you need to like kind of pull back, you know? It's kind of like when you let yourself be blackout drunk once or twice in like a safe situation, but not every time you drink.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't think rules about this sort of thing are helpful because moderation is going to look different.
Absolutely.
For people whose lives look different. Like moderation is going to look different for a single individual as like the structure of their life changes as well. Mm-hmm. Like as long as you're not hooking up so much that like the things that are priorities to you, like aren't getting the time and energy they need.
Yeah. That's really good wisdom.
I don't think you need to obsess about whether you're doing it too much.
Yeah, for sure.
Like it's sort of a baseline in psychology. Like it might be a disorder if it inhibits what normal functioning is to you. But if that's not happening, I don't think you need to worry about being addicted to sex yet.
That's really good wisdom. So, question for you. Mm-hmm. What is one of your, like, it doesn't have to be a crazy story. It could just be, like, a story that you like to tell that is in association with an app.
Yeah, there was one that I was thinking of that came up when you brought up sexual ethics. So I, when I split up from a long-term relationship with a woman a few years ago, I got on, started going on Grindr, and was, you know, hooking up with relative frequency, and started experiencing the, like, grosser, like, more seedy side of Grindr, which is people, like, being really disrespectful and, like, gross, like, aggressive and not in, like, a cute way. And, like, why is it with the unsolicited dick pics that they're almost always dicks that you don't want to see? Like, I don't think that it would be ethical in any sort of situation to send a dick pic to somebody you're not sure is wants it.
Mm-hmm.
But I wish they would at least be good ones. Like, it would soften the effect of the dehumanization a little bit.
I think it's funny that you said soften when it's supposed to make you hard.
That's a good point. So yeah, I think that's one thing. Like, don't act towards anybody in a way that you don't think they want. Mm-hmm. Like, there are a lot of, like, shared desires, goals that people have when they go on apps like Grindr, Scruff, etc. They're often used for hooking up, but, like, not everybody is on there for that. Like, there's one period in my life where I was just on the apps to make friends. Like, yes, I was that gay. Mm. Like, it's weird, but you can do it. Mm-hmm. And I made some friends on Grindr and Scruff that, like, I still talk to and hang out with. Some people you just, like you're both on there to hook up, but, like, you get more of a friend vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And you click really well in that way. And, like, I don't know, maybe you'll fuck later, maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, I don't think it's crazy to get on there and have, like, as one of your goals or desires to make friends, especially if you don't have a lot of queer people in your life. Like, we're lucky because we're associated with really queer churches and, like, our friend group is really queer.
Right.
I hardly ever talk to straight people anymore. Hashtag blessed. But for, like, a lot of people, that isn't true.
Right.
And some of these apps are ways that you can identify and communicate with gay queer people in your area easily.
Yeah. I know for me, in Baltimore, it was, like, the only way that I was able to meet other queer individuals.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, I didn't want to go to a bar to meet someone.
Mm-hmm.
Because, oh, that's the only place that queers gather. Or go to Pride, which I had, like, you know, some pretty poor experiences with.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it was so alcohol and substances focused, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it's something that plagues our community. So I just had, like, a really poor view, unfortunately, of our community, and wasn't sure how to, like, as a, you know, pretty straight-laced, straight-edge, you know, queer individual at the time, find someone. Because the past two people that I had been with and been serious with were Christians who, just like me, who were trying to figure out their sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings a lot of trauma to the table. So I was like, I want to meet someone who actually knows who they are. You know?
Yeah.
And I definitely got that with Erica, but I was fortunate because, like, I met a lot of other people that I mean, one person I stayed friends with, but mostly it was just people that I didn't click with at all,
mm-hmm.
you know? So it's interesting to think about it that it's still a way that some people make friends. I know the one thing that keeps coming to mind that is unfortunate is how a lot of times people use these apps as, like, ways of, like, advertising to people and or missionary dating.
Oof. No good.
Like, I know a friend, because I am poly and have many poly friends. I know a friend who was on there and talking to a couple and thinking that they were about to, like, you know, have a good time with a couple, and then found out that the couple was, like, Christian and they were just trying to, like, convert people.
Oh, that's gross.
Right? Like, you see a couple on an app, you're like, oh, damn, it's going to be fun. And then it's not. It's very much not.
Although, should we make a couple looking for a third profile for the podcast?
Oh my God, I'm not going to lie. That's brilliant.
We're not going to. Because, like, going back to sexual ethics, like, like, intentionally misrepresenting yourself.
Hate that.
Yeah, it's gross.
It's manipulative as fuck. I don't like it at all. Like, I'm okay, like, if you're, like, if your profile says, like, I'm just looking for friends and, like, I want to connect and share music with people and share art or whatever, like, that's cool. You're being straight up, you know?
And, like, being, like, deceptive and manipulative, I feel like it's very different from not sharing everything or not, like, oversharing on your profile. Yeah. Like, I remember reading some people's profiles and it was like, wow, that's a lot to unload on somebody before you even match. And, like, normally I don't have a problem with, like, somebody unloading a lot on me.
No, man, guys, I wish you were here and you could have seen Jack's face, because they were so serious. And I was just like, damn, like, that was so well delivered. Whew. That's what he said.
I got so excited when that pun suggested itself to me. I was like talking. I was like, oh, don't let on.
You didn't. You did so good. Hey, beautiful Lavender Mafiosa babes. As we continue to make fun, sex-positive, thoughtful, queer Christian content, we've been blown away by how many of you make listening to us a regular part of your week. It really means the world to us. We appreciate those of you who have been listening regularly, as well as you gorgeous babes who have partnered with us on Patreon. There are so many ways that you can come alongside us and support us, but one of the key ways of doing that and continuing to do this work is through Patreon. We need the support of our community of listeners to continue doing this work, this amazing work that we're doing. Getting to hear from so many of our listeners how Lavender Mafia has made a difference to you, or made you feel like you were just not so alone, has meant the world to us. And in the world that we are in right now, with so much hurt flying at queer and trans folk, it means everything to have voices that are out there, diverse voices. And in order to keep doing this work, we need your support. Not only do we want to be able to continue the podcast, but we want to be able to do even more than that. We want to do Lavender Mafia merch. We want to have a website and an online and in-person community, and even some bonus podcast content. And the way we're able to do that is with the support that we get through Patreon. So if the Lavender Mafia has meant something to you, please consider going to patreon.com/lavmafia and sign up to help us keep doing this work. Every little bit helps. Thanks.
I feel like when you're making your profile, it's really up to you how much you want to include about your own story. Mm. I've kind of gone back and forth, or I used to go back and forth, like, off the apps now since I'm monogamous, engaged to a guy I met on Tinder. And talk about that later.
Look at us finding the love of our lives on dating apps.
Tinder, OkCupid, if you still exist, you know, throw some of that ad money our way.
Right? Come on.
Oh, yeah. So back when I, like, made profiles for apps, there was, like, some uncertainty in my mind, like, about how much to share. Like, I'm divorced. Like, do I put that in the profile?
You have a kid.
I have a kid. Do I put that in the profile?
Yeah.
Do I write that I'm looking for a stepdad for the kid, or is that coming on too strong? Probably coming on too strong. Oh yeah, like I'm femme and trans, non-binary. Like, do I put those in the profile?
You're disabled.
Yeah. A lot of things that, like, I don't think of as negatives, but that a lot of people think of as negatives, and that they won't give you a chance if they see that in your profile.
Right.
One of our friends has talked about...
Do you talk about your dick size?
I know, right? And, like, how much exaggeration is permissible before it's lying?
Listen, we know where we all stand in this room, I think.
I hope I'm not standing. You'd be able to see it in this dress.
Yes. Love that.
And I feel like what you include in your profile depends on what you want to attract. Like,
yeah,
I ended up falling on the side of like including a lot in my profile, because if the fact that like I'm femme turns somebody off, then I want them to be turned off on the front end.
Yeah.
And that was more for dating apps, where as like in the hookup apps, like I might not include that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Partly because those spaces tend to be more like mask for mask, sort of heavy, like masculine people looking for masculine people. So I got cancer a few years ago. I didn't know that I was going to tell a cancer story in an After Dark, but here it comes. It was like a secretory system carcinoma, and it's really rare. You probably haven't heard of it. My hips are cancer. I got it before it was cool. We don't even have an awareness ribbon yet. But like, it's called MESC. Like, its abbreviation is mask. But like, I got it before I was out, like before I knew queer culture. There's so many mask for mask jokes that I didn't get to make that I feel like is just really like a waste of a cancer. And I didn't get to make punchlines out of it.
Oh, amazing. Amazing.
But yeah, because like mask is desired or expected on like a lot of the hookup apps, like if you're femme and you just want to like fuck somebody or have somebody fuck you, like, and that's not real important for you to share, like that might be something you disclose right away. Like for me, it was something that people found out quickly based on like my mannerisms, the way that I dress in person. But by then it's like,
are we actually here to do this or not?
Right?
Yeah, exactly. What do you think about people utilizing regular social media for dating?
Ooh, I might have slid into more than one person's Twitter DMs to, you know, try to make something happen.
Right? Or Instagram. I feel like Instagram's the place that I've met different people and like just like connected with people.
Yeah. I mean, I was like flirted before the DM slide. Yeah, actually, is that true? No, that's not true. That's a lie. Sometimes the DM slide happened and then the flirting started, and I got a number of dates with good guys that way. None of it ended up going anywhere particular, but I had an okay experience with that.
Yeah, I feel like the only time that I think that it's gross is when straight men hit on women through social media apps.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the only time that it annoys me.
Yeah, like I would slide into DMs before flirting started, but not before there was some kind of like connection.
Right. Exactly.
At least like a flirty vibe.
Right? I really hate getting random messages from men that's like, nice boobs.
Oh my God, me too.
Like, what the fuck? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They're always doing that to you, Jack, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, Wait, were you done?
Yeah, no.
Oh, I just remembered the story that I like
almost
started to build up to, but then didn't.
Yeah, you know, I know. I was like, I thought we might have been going somewhere.
It's like conversational edging. I was talking about like unsolicited dick pics and how that's gross. Don't do it. And when I was like newer to Grindr, I got annoyed with that enough that sometimes I would like fuck with the people that were doing it. Like I would act like I was interested in what they're offering. I was not. And try to like amp up the weirdness until they got freaked out by me and like blocked me.
That's such a you thing.
And I'm like simultaneously proud of this and not proud of it. Like this doesn't like express what I consider like my highest sexual ethical behavior now. But I think there's something to it. Like it was a step along my journey.
That's how I've handled straight dudes.
Really?
Yes. I've 100% when they've like been all up in my shit and like think that they're like coming on to me and like, hey, want a third? You know, like, you ever tried dick? Like, whatever it is that that energy that they're coming at me with, like, I return it right back. And I'm just like, I instead of being sassy with them, I like to like hit on them hard and like make them feel really fucking uncomfortable.
That's great.
You know, like, damn, look at that ass. No, come on. Walk away from me with that ass. Fuck. Shit, man. And like, I do it in a really butch fucking way. So it makes them super uncomfortable.
Oh, I love that.
Right? Let me get a hold of that dick. Yeah. They're just like, what? No.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's something to this approach. Sometimes I think about the proverb, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. Like if somebody's being gross towards you, like be gross back and show them how gross being gross is.
Yeah.
And so like that's what I used to do on the apps. And with this one guy who had favored me with a particularly unsightly, unsolicited appendage picture. I pretended like I was interested in hooking up, and I just made things weirder and weirder by turns. And so I said like I wanted to host, and like they always like it if you host. That is to host the sexual encounter. Like they come over to your house, called traveling, usually when you go over to their place.
Okay.
So I said I was going to host, and I said, just so you know, the dungeon has a separate entrance from the rest of the house. And he was like, okay. I was like, oh, that wasn't enough. And so I said, what's your pain threshold? And he's like, I don't know, medium? And I was like, okay, if it's only medium, like I'm gonna wanna give you an anesthetic. Is that okay? And he's like, what now? I was like, no, don't worry about it. I mix it here in my garage. And he says, okay.
Oh my God. Keep going.
And somehow the conversation turned and like we were gonna go over to his place. And I said, yeah, okay, I'll be on my way soon. I just need to get the spiders in their cages first. And he said, okay. And I said, you're okay with spider play, right? And he said, sure. And at that point, I was like, I give up. I lose the game. I block the creep. And I was like, no. I cannot out-kink this guy. I mean,
I wanted you to outkick him so bad.
I did too. We don't kink shame here on Louder Mafia except for spider play. It's probably a thing. I don't want to know if it's a thing.
Wow, this guy was really trusting. He really wanted to get laid.
Yeah. I hope maybe he was like fucking with me in return. Sort right. of like triple agent kind of deal. Like yeah. double cross the double cross her. But I... I don't know if I have that much faith in humanity.
That shit's crazy, man. I bet people have some crazy freaking app stories that they could share.
Oh, I would love to hear them.
I think something that we would be remiss not to acknowledge is safety.
Oh, yeah. Safety is very important.
You know, like, I think about how many, like an example of this is my mom, when she started dating online, she went on a date. She did not tell any of us kids or anyone that she was going on a date. She didn't say where she was going. She didn't, we didn't know that she was going on a date with, that she was even talking to someone. And 12 hours later, when she hadn't showed up home and it was way after midnight and my sister was freaking out, we were all crying and thinking our mom was in a diabetic coma on the side of the road somewhere, she walked in the door, ear to ear smile. And the police who were there, because we were that freaked out, were like, you need to get your mom in check. And then they left. Because our mom went on basically a long ass date with this guy who she's now still dating. and was basically like fine with the fact that we called her a million times and didn't feel the need to tell us that she was okay. And I love my mom, but also that was a really immature move. And it was also something that I've heard from a lot of kids who have older parents that are dating again, that they just don't understand that it's really important to like have a buddy who knows where you're going, you know?
Yeah.
Like I've been that buddy multiple times from people who are just like, hey, by the way, going on a first date with someone and this is where we're going. I might call you to get out of it. Okay, cool. You know, what are your suggestions when it comes down to safety?
Yeah, I think that's good. Like either texting a friend the address you're going to, or like putting location sharing on, that sort of thing is better. Location sharing is probably better, right?
Yeah.
Because like if you text somebody an address, that's just like, oh, this is where to look for the body.
Yeah.
But like location sharing might be helpful before that.
Yeah.
When I was like freshly broken up and like also freshly in LA and like didn't really know many people, sometimes I would just text myself the address so there would be like a record of it. If I ended up in a dumpster somewhere.
Well, and like we say these things, but there's a lot of truth to what we're saying, at definitely in the queer community.
Yeah, yeah.
Like because there are people that will target queer people and hurt them by utilizing the apps. And it's something that is important to have an idea of, that it exists in the world. It doesn't mean avoid dating. It doesn't mean run away from the apps. It doesn't mean don't trust anyone. It just means put a little bit of security in place for yourself.
Yeah, they're not to go like too dark on After Dark. But like there is a serial killer in Toronto a few years back, and they use like the club scene and I think Grindr and other apps to like set up rendezvous with people who became their victims.
Yeah.
So like there are good reasons to be safe out there. There are people outside our community who want to hurt us. There are people inside our community who want to hurt us too.
Yeah, that's true. Which sucks.
Yeah.
Motherfuckers. I think I heard about that story, the Toronto story. That happened for over a decade of time. From when
It was a long time.
Yeah. Fuck. That's nuts. Yeah, I just thought it was important to mention. I mean, there's so many, like, we can tell so many, like, ridiculous, raunchy, and funny stories from app encounters. Like, the time that I decided to try to put myself as bisexual, and all of a sudden I got so many messages by straight dudes. And I was like, ugh.
Ooh, I don't love that journey for you.
Yeah, no, it reminded me that I was super gay real fast. I was like, nope, this is definitely not going to work for me. That's for sure. I remember I tried talking to someone, and I was just like, yeah, I just really don't want this. It was like a really good, like, reminder. I feel like you have a similar story, don't you? Like, you changed your settings to... Didn't you change your settings bi at one point?
I feel like everybody's had this sort of experience where, like, they have one too many glasses of Merlot on a lonely Saturday night, and you feel a little crazy, and so you go in your settings and say, maybe I'm interested in women tonight. And then get freaked out and not know how to flirt with women and go back to men.
I literally had someone in our community reach out and say to me, couple days ago, like, how do I flirt with boys in bars? And I was like, I don't know. I'm the wrong person to ask.
And like, it is easier on the apps because, like, yeah, you know, if she's there, she might want it. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe she's just there for friends. Maybe she's there for networking. She's probably not there for friends or networking.
Nope.
I feel like they can be especially helpful for, like, those of us who are introverts, who don't have like a whole lot of social energy to expend. And so we can kind of figure out some of what somebody's vibe might be like before we meet them, like before we decide if they're worth our limited energy.
I just thought a really cute, fun question.
Yeah.
What was it about August's profile that like caught your eye?
Oh my God, it was so good. He is really cute.
Oh yeah.
Like really fashionable, which I don't actually find a lot in the kind of like gay and queer circles that we run in. Like, not a whole lot of people are putting a lot of effort into their appearances. Y'all know who you are. When you know better, you do better.
Oh my gosh.
He had like really cute shirts, but like more than that, he talked about the importance of kindness. And he talked about how he will like stand up and fight for the things that are really important to him. Like he'll stand up against injustice.
Mm.
And I just loved all of that. And I actually gave him one of my coveted super likes. You know, if you pay for Tinder, you get like a number of super likes every set period of time. And if you super like someone, like your profile is like sure to appear in their like queue.
Oh, wow.
And so I was like real, Tinder aggressive.
Yes.
Toward him. And he liked what he saw too. And so we matched and I sent a message and pretty quickly I was hitting on him and talking about cancer.
Yeah, and cancer always comes up.
I feel like I might have told the story already in a previous episode, but I talked about having had cancer and I said it was like a secretory system carcinoma, and so they had to remove part of it to get the cancer. And I said, I don't know if it's affected my saliva output. Maybe that's something you could help me figure out.
That's right. Oh my God.
And he really liked that.
Oh my gosh. So nerdy. I love it.
I tried to like really strongly brand each of my dating app encounters with the whole like funny, sexy, weird.
Yes.
Jack vibe. Yes. And most people were like hard pass, but only needed one. And
that's right.
Was here for it.
I love that. I love that.
What was it about Erica's profile that you really liked? You remember that long ago? Old married woman.
I do. I remember seeing this beautiful, curvy woman with an amazing smile. And flowers in her hair and thinking, wow, right away. And then when I went to her profile, she talked about, being a nurse and, she talked about doing art And immediately I remember thinking those two things alone were huge, cool things to me, that someone could simultaneously have a career and also be an artist was really appealing to me. Mm-hmm. And I thought we would, we could get along, because I feel like a lot of times people get lost in their one thing, and they're right. not good at having a partner that is into multiple things and really a really diverse and layered. And I had had multiple encounters with individuals that seemed to only have a job and nothing else in their lives. And I was like, ooh, that's not appealing to me.
Yeah.
I also didn't want someone who was going to like just jump onto my, like, onto the bandwagon with me and like only want my dreams for me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I wanted someone who had dreams for themselves.
Yeah.
And that seemed to ring really true in her profile. And just like every picture that I saw of her was like really fucking cute. She had this curly red hair, and I was smitten right off the bat. I was like, oh fuck, if she doesn't answer me, it's gonna hurt. Cause she is gorgeous. And I remember the other thing that I thought of, it shared height on there, and I remember thinking, oh no, we're the same height. I've never dated anyone that was short like me. I've always dated tall people. And and I had a really briefly limited idea of like what I thought my type was. And I remember someone challenging me and being like get over yourself, like and I remember thinking, like, this is just one thing, like, I'll know when we go on a date if it's like an actual issue. Mm-hmm. And yeah. And somehow I got her to message me back. I don't remember what I said, but yeah, that was her just like freaking beautiful and being a really diverse human. I feel like that's still my like requirement's the wrong word probably. But like, that's still something I look for when it comes to just individuals in my life in general. Mm-hmm. Like being a layered and intriguing, interesting, passionate individual, you know? Like, I know some people who are like, oh, if we don't have all these things in common, then how are we ever going to work? And I'm like, the only things that are really important for me to be in common are like morals, like, and having similar dreams, like, we both wanted kids. She wasn't a smoker. Like, there were some key things like that, but like the things that she was passionate about, there were certain things that I knew nothing about, and I loved that. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. Some people are like, but like, what if she's not into hiking? If she's not into hiking, then how are we going to do it? Then you hike on your own, motherfucker. Find friends who hike.
Seriously,
like, I don't get that about some people. Like, if you're one of those people, try and explain yourself to me. But I'm seriously like, I don't get it. Like, if hiking's your like passion and you want to do that with your partner, and it's the only thing that's your thing that you want to do with partner, then okay, maybe I get that. But like, if you just like to hike, I'm sure there are other things that you're going to relate on with your partner. Mm-hmm. You know.
I feel like sometimes as queer people, we just like recreate the gross aspects of like fairy tale romance
stuff
that we're taught in like cishet culture, and just like maybe swap out the gender. But like, I mean, opinions on this differ, but like, I don't think soulmates are a thing. I think there are a lot of people that everybody, or that anybody could have like a meaningful and happy life together. And that like romance is about finding one or more of those people, and not like looking for the quote unquote right people out of like everybody in the world.
I feel like my perspective is that I think there are multiple, like, there are all kinds of soulmates and different types of soulmates for different people. Mm. Like, I don't think that there's one person, you know? So similar to the way that you're thinking, mm-hmm. I think there are people that click really well, that are meant to be with you for a certain amount of time, and that's it, mm-hmm. you know? And, I agree. I feel like that reflection of, there are times where I'm a little annoyed at my, like, being, affirmed in my masculinity in certain ways, like the things that I might do, that are traditionally masculine. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, I feel like we're constantly breaking the barriers, like Erica and I love that, mm. you know, like yeah. she's the main breadwinner, in our house. And I'm the one that cooks and prepares food and makes sure that the home, is kept. And then, she like is the one that like designs things, and she's the one that like puts things up and has a toolbox, and I don't, like, like that is like fun ways that I think that we push back against those ideas, but we're very different in our passions. Like I'm mm-hmm. really into, like sports and certain types of activities. She's really into like painting and having time alone, reading with the cats, like, but we both really love, certain types of comedy, and mm-hmm. we both really love similar music. We have vastly different taste in music, but we also have certain music that we love, and we love to go to concerts together with. And, mm-hmm. When she's passionate about something, like for example, Jurassic Park, like I was never someone who watched Jurassic Park before, but now I just like love it because of the way she loves it. Mm-hmm. You know, we both love museums. That's one thing. We always go to museums on like special occasions, like birthdays and anniversaries and stuff. Museums are a big thing for us. Mm. I think it helps that they're also super often accessible for handicapped peeps.
Yeah, that is nice.
Yeah. But yeah, we haven't like, so always it as different as we are, as crazy introverted as she is and as extroverted as I am, and as different hobbies and passions that we have, like we still like are such a perfect fit for each other. Mm-hmm. So it always makes me a little disappointed and sad when people like get so hyper focused, especially with apps when you have everyone at your fingertips, mm-hmm. that you don't allow for something to kind of like breathe on its own, like see if there's chemistry there, you know? Mm-hmm. I think that was the limitation I wasn't a huge fan of when it came to apps. I think it's great. I think they're great, and they can be really great tools, but I think sometimes people miss out on opportunities because of them too.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Something I want to focus on a little bit more, talked about how the apps that are used by gay men often tend to be femme-phobic, and another part of that is that they tend to be pretty severely transphobic, yep. as well. Like, yep. especially in the hookup apps, like it can be dangerous for trans people not to disclose beforehand.
Yep.
And I think that's gross. I hate that. I don't think that means that trans people have an obligation to disclose, but just something I want our listeners to be aware of, whether you're a trans person who might be thinking about going on the apps and hasn't experienced this yet. Just know a lot of trans people have really shitty experiences on the apps. And I hope that that isn't your experience, trans listeners. Just want to warn you about the sorts of experiences that, like my fiance August and other trans friends have told me about, like what goes on a lot of the apps.
I heard a statistic earlier on a podcast that I think it's that they said like over 50% of women who are murdered by a ex-partner or current partner that is male. And I was like, if ever I had a reason to stay as gay as I am.
I know, right?
Right?
What I was thinking. Men are canceled.
Yeah. Like, I was just thinking about that. Like, that's crazy. Like, very, you don't often hear about women partners killing other women partners.
Mm-hmm.
And just you talking about that reminded me of that stat and just made me think, like, because I actually was hit so harsh, so much by it that I was thinking I might share about it on social media, because I'm like, I just keep sitting in the fact that I feel like, am I really truly that much safer just because I'm queer in this really weird roundabout way, like, mm-hmm. as a woman?
Mm-hmm.
And then it really frustrates me as a genderqueer individual who's under the trans umbrella to think that if I was also trying to hook up with guys, that I would be that much less safe.
Right.
You know, and just by the nature of someone being interested in men, that it makes them less safe,
mm-hmm.
which makes me sad.
Yeah, I think especially for our straight and bi women listeners who are unfortunate enough to be born attracted to straight men, like that can be really dangerous. Like,
mm-hmm.
queer men, absolutely, of all kinds, can be dangerous. I think there is an aspect of being a member of a marginalized community and having marginalized experiences oneself that makes it a lot less likely.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it's not the case that it never happens. I've had experiences where I felt unsafe and or was not safe. It was instances in Toronto. But yeah, a lot of rough stuff out there.
Yeah, I think it's important, like, to, like, if you're thinking about getting on apps or you're already on them and you do it very loosely, like, I think it's important to think about, like, all the aspects of like the pros and the cons and the in-betweens, you know?
Yeah. And, like, not to end on too much of a downer, like, knowing what I know now about the apps and how people can act on them, like, I still would have gotten on them.
Yeah.
Both, like, the hookup apps and the dating apps obviously worked out well for me also. I think probably maybe 1-2% of my, like, in-person encounters were, like, really negative. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, bad sex just happens sometimes. Yeah. Even if people are hot and good at it, it happens. That's not the sort of thing I'm talking about, but
yeah,
the sort of situations where, like, things can get unpleasant, like that. I felt like I was in that situation, sort of a situation, very rarely. But I also recognize that I have quite a bit of privilege just because I'm somebody who is assigned male at birth.
And also you're in a better place by being in LA, mm-hmm. than some other town, you know?
Yeah.
I was just thinking about what one of my wife's friends said to her before she met me, which was, you know, she was expressing her exhaustion with dating and, like, having really bad dates and encounters with individuals. And she was just like, I'm done with that apps. I'm done with dating. Mm-hmm. I give up. And her friend, I believe it was Danny, an old friend from college, said to her, I have this feeling that someone is, like, right around the corner for you. Like, mm-hmm. don't give up. Keep trying. Like, I think someone's out there for you. And, like, literally, she was in the middle of, she had just, like, potentially was starting to, like, try to, like, distance because she was so done with dating.
Mm-hmm.
And she had already started talking with me. And then I basically reached out literally, like, that night and was like, hey, you know, like, followed up with her.
Mm-hmm.
And then she responded with something like, you know, I'm sorry, I'm a nighttime nurse. I have crazy weird schedule, and I just don't want you to have to feel obligated to that. And I was like, how about you let that, leave that up to me to decide when I can respond, and no pressure about when you respond. Mm-hmm. Like, I won't be disturbed if you respond to me in the middle of the night, and hopefully you're okay if I reply in the morning. I literally sat there and waited for her text for like a couple hours, and then I was like, responded like within like 20 minutes because I didn't want to seem desperate.
Cute.
But yeah, so like, hey, if you're exhausted and you're out there and you just want to delete everything, sometimes maybe you do need to do that and just take a break. But sometimes there's a person right around the corner. Jack and I are evidence and proof of that, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, I mean, August and I matched on sort of like a millionth chance because he lives pretty far away from me. And so on the dating apps, like, I never set my my dating radius, or like my search radius, out that far. It's just that he happened to be like driving through my area.
Wow.
On a like road trip back home, that he even like got in my search radius and showed up in my like queue of people.
Wow. See, I didn't know that. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. There's hope out there, people. We can do this. We can do this together. We should start like a dating advice, like I don't even know, a dating advice show or something.
Or you were an app developer.
Oh my gosh. I don't even know if I want to go. That's an investment.
Lavender mating.
Oh my gosh. A couple of years from now. I feel like we have talked this subject out. What do you think?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Okay. Awesome. Where can people find us, Jack?
Look for us on Instagram and Twitter at LavMafia, LavMafia. And if you like what we do and want to help it keep happening, hope you'll consider going to patreon.com/LavMafia and lending your support to this work.
We also have a Facebook page.
Oh my God, the new Facebook page. How could I forget?
It's more like a Facebook group. It's somewhere where we really want to like encourage community building and all of you guys to like get to know each other and feel safe in this space.
Yeah, if an episode sparks something you want to talk about with people, or maybe there's something about queerness, faith, or both, that you just don't feel like you've ever had the space to talk about or like to ask those kinds of questions, we want that community page to be a place where you can have those kinds of conversations.
Yes, absolutely. All right, gorgeous babes, be fierce, keep the faith,
and don't fuck it up. Our amazing music is written and produced by Evan Coles of Springwood Productions. Speaking of Springwood, I just want to thank them for recording, mixing, and producing our audio. Without them, this podcast wouldn't be happening. Springwood is made up of passionate creatives who are really easy to work with and professional, and they really know their stuff. So if you need anything like video or audio production, or they can really do anything to help your music or business. Like, they got me Taco Bell one time, for God's sake. So go check them out at springwoodproductions.com.